Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome. Is that time? Welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm not on camera right now, but okay. Marcellus Wiley here trying. Emmanuel Acho came in here cocky today.
You know, I had to feel myself, my dog. You know what they say, you got to look good, you got to speak good, you speak good, you get paid good. I'm trying to get paid like Marcellus Wiley, America.
It'll take more than a suit, though.
Damn, I'm about to say. It's these words that come out of our mouth that helps that cause as well. Let's get it started, big dog, with the Eagles. And Philly is stuck in the loss column after dropping their third straight last night against the Seahawks. So I can wait for this moment. Carson Wentz threw two touchdown passes, but he was sacked six times and had a huge interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter. After the game, Wentz said, quote, "We're frustrated. I know I'm frustrated. I hate losing." Yeah, right. All right, Acho, do you blame Carson Wentz for the Eagles' loss? Liar. Loves this.
I just get a moment of silence for me and the rest of the Eagles.
Oh, really?
Fans.
Did they die last night? Did they die? It was bad, Marcellus. It was bad. I'm sitting at my couch, and I'm like, man, I got to go into work tomorrow. You're not sitting on your couch. You're sitting at it. I heard that. Damn, you heard me.
I'm sitting at it. You know, I'm not on the couch. I'm sitting on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground. Like, I don't deserve to be up there.
Sorry. I was sick, America. Oh. I was sick. But I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to come into work today and blame Carson Wentz for an Eagles issue. That's what I'm not going to do. And let me tell you why I'm not. Because, yes, Carson Wentz needs to play better. Yes. He needs to play
dun,
better.
Dun, dun, dun. Profound statement.
But it's not as though this is all, nor exclusively, nor majority Carson Wentz's fault. Let me talk about whose fault it might be. I wasn't going to go here, but I have to out the gate.
Call him out.
How about my guy, Howie Roseman, the general manager?
Ooh, we got
Can
something
Can we start
here.
There, please?
Okay.
Can we start with the general manager
right,
now, Howie?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is your job to build a roster with talent, with players, with receivers, with tight ends, with running backs. Ooh. To help supplement your $100-plus million quarterback. And what have you done? You've left the cupboard empty. Sell. If I say, hey, big dog,
what's up?
Can you come over to the crib? You know what I'm saying? I know you can throw down in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hey, can you come over to the crib? I'm going to pay you handsomely. Please come to my house and throw down. Make that steak that you did, that New York strip that you be killing.
I'll
you
be
say, good. Okay, Acho,
Cowboy
how much
cow.
You going to pay me? I say, yeah, I'm going to pay you about $100-something million, 59 over the next
All year. The cows
you
gone.
You show up to my house,
yeah.
And you open up the cupboard, and you don't see no seasonings. I'm not going to blame you. I'm going to look at the person who was supposed to stock the cupboard. Let's look at it. Cry, Eagles, cry. I got a full screen. Last 2 years, the Eagles first and second round picks. Jalen Reagor, huh? He had 11 yards last night. Jalen Hurts, huh? He had two snaps last night. Andre Dillard, not his fault, but he was hurt. Myles Garrett, huh? He dropped two passes last night. And Miles Sanders, he dropped two passes last night. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I have not even seen this man. He has 234 career receiving yards. D.K. Metcalf has, what, 330 receiving yards against the Eagles the last two games. So I'm not going to sit here, Sal, and take the lazy narrative of exclusively blaming Carson Wentz when his cupboard is empty. Is he part to blame? Yes.
Oh.
But his cupboard is empty.
So. Oh, man. I am coming over to your house. I'm going to bring my LaylaAli.com seasonings, because those are my favorite. Shout out to Layla. And I'm going to hook this steak up, and I'm going to keep you on the floor, and I'm going to sit on your couch. Actually, you need to get on your own couch, because you need some therapy. And it's me being a therapist in this moment to help you out. This is all on Carson Wentz. And it's simple why it's on Carson Wentz, because we have paid you. Not just literally, but figuratively to be the leader, to be the playmaker, to be the one that when all else fails, Carson Wentz, because of the dollar amount, because of the conviction we had in giving you that dollar amount, because of what you showed us in years past to be that playmaker. But is Carson Wentz that playmaker? No, he wasn't last night. Is he the playmaker consistently? No, he's not been this year. If you really want to dig into it, look in the archives. It's been a year plus of anemic play by your guy, Carson Wentz. What's happened in Philadelphia happens to a lot of places that we say has a bad culture, not a winning culture, teams that are at the bottom. You normalize negative behavior. And what's happened here while you're on my therapy couch is this behavior has been normalized by Carson Wentz, which is just play okay or bad, but it's all right because you're stuck with me. I'm going to use Carson Wentz against Carson Wentz because I know a lot of times you want to talk about all these other players or playmakers he doesn't have. Let's just talk about the same person, Carson Wentz versus Carson Wentz. Full screen time. This is his career on the left. 62% completion percentage, passing yards, you see it, yards per attempt, passer rating. All I want you to do is look at Carson Wentz in totality versus who Carson Wentz was last night. And as you can see, less of a version of himself that's been lesser than the 2017 version. To get his career numbers, Acho, you even have to factor in what he did last night. You have to factor in everything he's done this year. And all of that considered, he's still less than a lesser standard of who he is. Since he's gotten paid, he has not been the guy that they could count on.
So is football the ultimate team sport, yes or no?
Yes, it is. And that's why you can place blame on individuals, because it all adds up.
That was a very calculated answer.
Yes.
Football is the ultimate team sport. Let me tell y'all and show y'all an individual who I would probably blame just as much, if not more. Honestly, the last couple games, more Alshon Jeffrey, Sal. Alshon Jeffrey, you want to know how much money he's making? $15 million cap hit this year. $15 million for Alshon.
That's
now, Alshon has only played the last four games, but let's look at yesterday, a play where Carson Wentz gets sacked. And somebody like Marcellus will say, oh, Carson Wentz, another sack. But was it really Carson Wentz's fault? This is a screen. A screen is called, Alshon's at the top, I'm highlighting him. A screen is called versus a pressure. This is six, America. Nothing is worse than having a blitz versus pressure. But Carson Wentz has nowhere to throw the screen. So what happens? He takes a sack. Marcellus will say, oh, Carson Wentz takes another sack. But Alshon, it looks like you the man is supposed to run the screen right there. Okay, Acho, but that's just one game.
One play, too.
One play. Oh, can we go to the week before? Cleveland Browns. Alshon Jeffrey, you're 6'5", what, 230 at this point in your career? Former Pro Bowler? I'm throwing you a fade. There's 4 minutes left in the game. We're down by 12. I need you to make a play. You're at the bottom of the screen, highlighted. Alshon, just win. Just win. Do something. But don't get bodied by a 6-foot cornerback because now somebody like Marcellus will come out and say, Carson Wentz, an interception. Those two plays I just showed y'all will go down as a sack for Carson Wentz. They'll go down as a pick for Carson Wentz. When in all honesty, that's not on Carson Wentz. That's
not
on his $15 million receiver who also gets paid too. So remember in football, not even in college, in NFL.
Okay.
Every now and then somebody will make a play, and what do you say? Hey, they get paid
about damn time. They get paid too now. Yeah.
Alshon gets paid too now. Miles Sanders gets paid too now. It's a Jalen Reagor, first round pick. He get paid too
when you
now.
Turn into the civil rights attorney with that voice, they get paid too
they
now.
Get paid
like,
too,
just spread this all around. Equality for everybody. It's not equal. It's not equal in the real world. It's not equal as a human being on this planet. And it's not equal on a team when you get paid the most. You're going to be held accountable the most. You're going to get the most praise and the most criticism. Look at this. I'm tired of using my words against you because I keep defeating you. Let's come from a different perspective. What did Brian Griese say post-game? What's wrong with Carson Wentz? Confidence. He's shot. And I told you this early in the season. Everyone thought it was a hot take. You laughed at me. I told you, I've been there before when all of a sudden you're not believing in everything you do. How do I know his confidence is shot beyond Brian Griese's words on Monday Night Football? Is the fact that if you look at him and his performances, this year the average passer rating in the NFL is 93. The average, yo, Acho, everybody considered average 93. How many times has Carson Wentz had a 93 passer rating this year? Just guess. You're on the floor still until you can get this right.
Not one. I know.
Not one. Not a single damn time this year. He's not even average. Let's go to the Pro Football rankings, and they're talking about in quarterbacks. You know who's ranked number 30? Carson Wentz. You know who's ranked number 27 that just got benched? Nick Foles. Nick Foles is being assessed and evaluated, playing better at the position, the same position he just got benched playing. And now Carson Wentz is in a situation where All you're doing is you're going out there and deflecting. You're talking about all these players, and he doesn't have weapons. Look at this receiving core last night. Greg Ward had the most snaps. Jalen Reagor, first rounder. Alshon Jeffrey, second rounder. Used to be a beast. I don't know what he's doing now. Travis Fulgham played himself into a conversation of being a beast. And you got Hightower, who's a fifth rounder. That's who you had out there. You had injuries.
That is what you're bragging about?
Hold on. I'm bragging about this.
That is what you're bragging about?
I'm bragging in perspective to someone who says he has no one to throw to. You got a first rounder. You got a second rounder. You got two other rounders. You got guys. But when you are the quarterback, can I say this? When you are the quarterback who has the highest look at your face. Who has the highest rate of inaccuracy of all quarterbacks?
Don't do this, Sal.
That's when you have a problem.
Don't
he can't hit
this.
Anybody, no matter who that
Sal,
person is.
You were drafted in the second round, correct?
Yes, sir.
But if I put you out on the field, I'm not expecting you to get a sack. I'm not going to go back and go, wait. Well, Sal was drafted in the second round.
But how long?
That's what you're doing with Alshon Jeffrey. Marcellus Wiley, Alshon Jeffrey been hurt the last 2 years. Do not claim his draft status as though he is actual help. I've said this before to you. I've said this to y'all. If there can be addition by subtraction, what can there be?
Subtraction by addition.
It sounds good. I don't know if it's true.
Travis Fulgham, Marcellus Wiley, he was leading the NFL for 5 weeks.
He was from week four to week eight. That means he's a guy.
Then what happened after the bye week?
But he's a guy.
What happened after the bye week? Alshon Jeffrey came back.
Yeah, the ashes of Alshon.
Alshon Jeffrey returned, and since then, Travis Fulgham, the player leading the NFL in receiving yards for 5 weeks, Travis Fulgham has 34 yards since Alshon Jeffrey came back. Now I know what you're saying. Wait, Acho, if everybody knew Fulgham was good, why are the Eagles even playing Alshon Jeffrey? Because you play who you pay. And Alshon Jeffrey makes more in one game.
Including Carson Wentz.
In one game than Travis Fulgham makes all season. So I'm not going to sit here and blame exclusively Carson Wentz.
So why don't you follow the money train all the way to the guy who gets paid the most? If you want to stop right at Alshon, he makes more than Fulgham. Good. But who makes more than him? Who makes more than Alshon? You know it's Carson Wentz, big dog. Look, he has 10 games with giveaways. Two more than anybody else in the league at the position. 17-20-1. Losing quarterback since 2018. Stop making this about player versus player or this year versus Carson Wentz in his 2017 year.
Sell.
This dude has been in decline, bro.
Sell.
When are you going to acknowledge it?
I'm not saying that he's not currently declining. What I am saying
is, what are you saying?
Can we look into why? Who has the most dropped passes in the NFL this season?
Carson Wentz's team.
Exactly. Carson Wentz got the most dropped
passes. Who has
the most inaccurate passes thrown?
So if, Carson Wentz.
But if you're going to tell, if you're going to sit here and tell me, okay, wait a second, Carson Wentz is inaccurate. Carson Wentz got the most
pitch. I'm not saying it.
Carson Wentz's completion percentage is down.
Right
can you also, out the same mouth that you're speaking against Carson Wentz, can you also acknowledge the fact that his team is dropping the most passes? Can you acknowledge the fact that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was drafted before DK Metcalf last year by the Eagles, has 200 career receiving yards. DK Metcalf has 300 against the Eagles in two games. I just need you to please sit back and say, wait a second. Carson Wentz is not necessarily doing a ton, but he doesn't have a ton to do it with.
He has enough to do it with if he was the answer. Simply stated, it's like this. Wentz has now gone seven straight starts without completing 60% of his passes. Let's stop arguing. What the hell is that? And you getting paid $39 million. I don't care if you went down to Snoop's Pop Warner League and grabbed seven of those dudes and said, let's go out there and have empty formations. You cannot call yourself an NFL quarterback, let alone a franchise quarterback, let alone a money-making franchise quarterback, and continue to have this type of output. You keep blaming everyone else. You're doing a deflection game.
Oh, Howie Rosen, what have you done to get me right?
Look at this. If you look at what he has, there are names on there injured or not playing up to their name, including Carson Wentz, but you can't keep placing the blame elsewhere.
So then you simply don't acknowledge the fact that Carson genuinely does not have legitimized help. Like
no,
you're
he
saying
does. He has,
Carson
he has
made
help.
So much money.
No. Okay.
Carson is making so much money that you don't care about anything.
No, it's not his money. It's these numbers. It's the fact that you are, what, 31st in completion percentage?
So.
30th? Hold on. When nobody should you be 31st in completion percentage. You know that's not true. You know football. No matter who the receiver is, get him the ball if you put it here.
I'll give you that. I'm going to give you that.
So,
but give me this.
That's
give me this.
Most
give me this.
Of give this.
Sal, we know this industry. I'm going to talk in your words. I'm going to personalize this for you, big dog.
Man.
We know this industry. The top dudes in this industry make about $8 to $10 million.
That's it?
That's big money. That's what you mean, that's it. That's big money.
You know what I'm saying?
Sal.
What?
Say all of a sudden, Fox, they come down, hey, Marcellus, we don't give you $10 million a year.
That's it?
But they don't give you a producer. Don't give you wardrobe. Don't give you makeup. Don't give you a co-host. Don't give you graphics. Don't give you nothing.
No co-host?
Don't give,
you go?
I'm gone. Take my money. It's just you. You making 10 M's. You making the most. But you have no help.
Chill.
You got no help.
Chill. I need help.
Exactly.
I need help. Yeah, but you know what?
So does Carson Wentz.
But it's a relationship.
That's my point.
But the relationship with the help, I can't come out here, stumble over all my words, make no points, and blame the lighting, blame the producers, blame his research. You know what? When the lights come on, they looking at me. That's why everyone else is there to build you up so that you can go out there and do your job. But they have to do their job as well. They're doing their job well enough.
Who is they?
Everyone else around him.
No, sir.
In comparison to the degree of Carson Wentz's futility, grading the offensive line, they're bad. They're injured. They're not as bad as Carson Wentz.
Sir.
Look at the receiving core. They're bad. They have injuries. They're not as bad as Carson Wentz. What is the worst quarterback in the NFL based on what he's getting paid and expected? It's not even close. It's Carson Wentz.
The problem is you're simply looking at the money and nothing else.
Why do you do this? There's a hard salary cap in the NFL, yes?
Correct.
So that's what? If you eat up a large chunk of it, guess what you're not going to have? Everything else that you want. Carson Wentz knew that when he signed it. They knew when they gave him that deal. How come you don't factor that in? There's a relationship.
I do, but that's why I showed you last 2 years, first round picks. I showed you five offensive players, and none are contributing in a major way. Miles Sanders is balling. Mm. Typically, he didn't yesterday. I showed you five offensive players that the Eagles drafted. Ain't none of them doing nothing. If you drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, use him. You drafted him. I don't care how y'all use him.
No, don't do that.
Oh, you drafted Jordan Love in the first round. Use him.
Yes. I don't care. You ain't saying that.
We were, because Aaron Rodgers was. Aaron Rodgers said what? I wish they would have helped me. Aaron Rodgers would
have helped
him.
But now that you have that guy at your position, you don't need him on the field.
They drove Aaron Rodgers, a grown man, to liquor, to alcohol. They drove him to alcohol because of who they drafted. Boy, Carson Wentz, he's just like, you know, Carson Wentz, religious man, audience of one. He ain't going to the bender like Aaron Rodgers.
You need to go to more church or a different church.
But I'm saying they drove Rodgers to drink because of their picks.
You stupid.
Jalen Hurts, second round pick. Can you use him?
Okay.
Find a way to use him.
Why not be just a quarterback that enhances the talent around you no matter what it is?
He did that. He did that.
He did that.
With Fulgham.
Thank you. So why are you now complaining that he doesn't have guys? He has guys that are higher rated, higher drafted than even Fulgham. Won't you make those guys? Russell Wilson doesn't complain. I don't have any first round receivers. I got a third rounder in Lockett. Got a second rounder in Metcalf. I don't know how he became a second rounder, but he did. And you know what Russell Wilson does? He goes out there and cooks with them. And what Carson Wentz does, who's paid in the same tax bracket, is not doing anything close to that. You're wasting the performances of the defense. Be real. 22 points last week. 23 points last night. You play defense. You walk out there and say, hey, we hold them to 22. Aren't you thinking we probably got a chance? But you know what's happened with Carson Wentz and this team? The last 3 weeks, how many points have they scored? 17, 17, 17. All season lows for this team.
Who?
They are regressing.
17, it seems like a through line. Who's number 17 for the Eagles? Alshon Jeffrey.
I ain't talking to you no more. Coming up at the top of the hour, you can get on the couch now. We're not done talking about Carson Wentz. More heat coming. We'll tell you if it's time for the Eagles to bench him. But first, Cam Newton's stats aren't great, but he says he's not apologizing for winning. We'll tell you if we're satisfied with how he's played this season. Next, speak for yourselves.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Speak for Yourself listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to Speak for Yourself.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Patriots beat the Cardinals on Sunday, but Cam Newton's stats did not jump off the page. Cam only had 84 passing yards with two interceptions, finishing with a passer rating of 23.6, the worst of his career. Now, after the game, Cam said he doesn't play for stats and added, quote, I play this game to win. I'm not going to apologize for winning. Say it with your chest then, Cameron. So, Marcellus, I love asking you this because there's going to be such an interesting juxtaposition between the last 17 minutes and these coming up minutes.
Oh, there
is. I'm going to ask you anyway.
I know what you're trying to leave me.
So you can lie to America.
Me lie?
Are you satisfied with Cam Newton's play this season? Oh, wait.
Yes, I am satisfied. Yes, I'm satisfied. I'm glad you use the word satisfied because it's a key word in how I'm feeling towards Cam Newton right now. I'm looking at Cam Newton like he's the lipstick on this pig, and the pig is the Patriots team. Go back to this offseason. Go back to when this team was rocked with COVID and had the 8 opt-outs and the starters who said, I won't play this year for the Patriots. Were they considered a playoff team? No. Were people going out there, even Colin Cowherd, our guy, saying that this is a 5-11 team? Yeah, a lot of people were saying this team is finally going to lose its reign in its division because they don't have the weapons, to the tune of that's why Tom Brady is not there right now. So no weapons, rocked by COVID, and it's supposed to be a transitional year. Not necessarily a rebuilding year, but a year for them to retool. What? Get a quarterback in by the name of Cam Newton. We don't have all the weapons we need, but we have $60 to $80 million next offseason for us to address those team needs and resources. So Cam Newton comes in here as the lipstick on this ugly pig, and you now want to pick this moment to talk about Cam Newton and his play at the quarterback position. When? Why? Because Cam Newton just went 3-1 over the last 4 games. Oh, beating playoff hunt teams like the Ravens and the Cardinals. Oh, no team other than the Saints has more wins over the last 4 weeks than who? Cam Newton and the Patriots. But this is the moment you want to pick. I understand when there was times where you're like, Cam, y'all losing and you're not playing well, but the team wins, and then you pick this moment to try and strike. I know you're going to strike, so I'm going to interrupt you right now as you Google because you don't have enough notes to combat me, and let's hear what you got to say about this. Oh, let's juxtapose each other.
America, America, America. You know Marcellus has lost an argument when he starts making up phrases.
What'd I make up? What'd I say? Did I say something?
Cam Newton is beating playoff hunt teams.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they ain't in the playoffs yet, but they contention. It changes by the week.
He ain't beating no playoff teams.
Oh,
Cam is beating.
We had to beat. Wait, what?
You had to say what? Playoff hunt teams.
Cam Newton is beating a playoff team.
Argument. He has.
Don't do that. I'm saying in the last 4 weeks, ain't my fault. It's the schedule.
I just found it comical.
Me too.
Started
when I wrote it down.
Look. Here's my issue, Marcellus, and no, I'm not satisfied with Cam Newton's play this
season. Hater!
Pains me to say this, I like Cam Newton. But 3 times over the course of your argument, you said weapons. He didn't have weapons. You said he didn't have enough weapons. You said he didn't have the weapons he needs. Yeah. Marcellus Wiley 3 times just said to y'all that Cam Newton doesn't have the weapons.
Yeah.
I just find that funny coming off of a block in which you disregarded the lack of weapons for another quarterback. I found that funny. I'm not going to make this racial.
Okay.
You know, it's 2020.
You want to go there? You're trying to sell that book again. It's already selling enough.
But I found that funny. Let me get to my point. Let me drop the sledgehammer on this man for y'all. Marcellus, what am I going to be satisfied with? The 9 interceptions? What am I going to be satisfied with for Cam Newton? The 4 touchdown passes? What am I going to be satisfied with when I look at Cam Newton? Again, this pains me to say because I like Cameron Newton. But you told me the first day I got here, you said, Acho, on this show, it's facts over feelings.
Yes.
You said don't ever let your compassion for an athlete, don't let that make you disregard the facts.
So what happens when Carson Wentz comes up? You always disregard the facts.
So I'm going to talk facts right here. Marcellus, let's look at the Patriots season. Cam Newton against the Cardinals throws an interception with 4 minutes left. If not for the Cardinals missing a 45-yarder, they lose that game.
Oh, that counts.
Cam Newton against the Buffalo Bills fumbles, and they lose that game. Cam Newton against the San Francisco 49ers, 3 interceptions and 3 quarters cost him that game. Cam Newton against the Denver Broncos, 2 interceptions. His defense held the Broncos to only 18 points. He cost him that game. So as I look at it, out of 11 games, Cam Newton has cost his team 3 and should have cost his team the 4th. Let me go somewhere else for you. 2 best games Cam Newton's played this year statistically. Seahawks, loss. Texans, Lost. So statistically, the two best games that Cam Newton has played, you told me this 2 weeks ago. Cam threw for 397 yards against the Seahawks, threw for 300 plus yards
against
the Texans.
I'm into rating a little more because it factors everything, but I'm listening.
But the two best games statistically that Cam played. Okay, we don't have to go there.
Yeah, you can't.
Let's go with the best game that Cam Newton played.
Let's go.
The Jets.
Let's go.
The best game Cam played was against the worst team we have seen in two decades. So I just can't sit here and say that I'm satisfied with Cam Newton, who's cost this team three games. He said that as well. Nor can I say that I'm satisfied with Cam Newton for playing his best game against the worst team in the history of the NFL, arguably. So you tell me.
I'm telling
how
you.
You're satisfied when I just told you all of that.
Oh, let me tell you about an offense that averages 364 yards a game with Cam Newton. But you want to point out the time where they only have Cam Newton throwing for 80 yards. You want to say, oh, that's the problem. But did they win that game? Yes, they did. You forget who this team is. A team that only lost close games to Seattle, Denver, and Buffalo with Cam Newton on the field. That's 5 points, 6 points, 3 points. Inches, one play away. Cam Newton instills the confidence in this team that is lacking its resources around it. That makes it a team that is actually in contention. This wasn't a team in contention before Cam Newton. Now with Cam Newton, you are in contention. We'll see how that plays out. But here's the thing, why Cam Newton is not Carson Wentz. How much does Carson Wentz make this year? $39 million. Okay, so we don't have enough money really to address anything else. And we still have some guys here, but we can't address everything. How much do you make, Cam? $1 million. Oh, do we expect the same thing out of you? I know the title's the same. Quarterback. Carson Wentz is expected to do so much more. You can almost say 39 times as much as Cam Newton based on just what they're paid. But beyond that, let's look at Cam Newton, who's still playing better than your guy, Carson Wentz, still playing better than a lot of quarterbacks. According to my Pro Football Focus rankings, Cam Newton is at 17. I wonder who's under him. Under him, playing worse than him by the evaluators. Phillip Rivers, whoa, really? No way. Joe Burrow, I thought he was going to be rookie of the year before injury. Roethlisberger, no, not on the undefeated team. Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, Fitzpatrick, why did they bench Fitzpatrick? He was playing so well. I can keep going. Jared Goff on a contending team. Teddy Bridgewater, et cetera. So here's the thing.
What's the
you thing? Can argue all you want about the fact that Cam Newton is having bad plays and bad stats as he's learning this offense, learning this system as he goes. But Cam Newton's been a perfect fit. He's actually been cover for a team that didn't have any other way to win. That's why Tom Brady departed.
Perfect fit. Perfect fit. Stop lying straight to my face. If you're going to lie, turn around and say Cam Newton's been a perfect fit. At least don't look at me when you lie to me.
Cam Newton's been a perfect fit.
Thank you. Look, bro, you told me just 20 minutes ago, what's the average passer rating in the NFL?
93.
That's the average.
Average.
So on average, 93 is your pass rating. Can we look at Cam Newton and Patriots wins this season, please? If y'all
you want to cut it up. You want to cut it up.
The games in which they won.
I know you want to cut it up.
He throws for 158 yards per game in their wins, and he has two passing touchdowns, three interceptions, and his passer rating is an 83, 10 points below the league average in their wins.
I like that.
So in Cam's wins, he's given you two passing touchdowns, three interceptions, and a passer rating well below average. And you're satisfied with that.
Yes. You know why I'm satisfied?
Why?
Because
I don't know.
I always tell you this, and you don't know this about my character. Hopefully you will over time, just like Cam is going to learn this system over time. Judge a man by the distance traveled. Judge a man by where he started to where he's gone. And guess where Cam Newton started? He started in June 28th, late to the program. And there was no program to go to because it was all virtual. And then he went to a team that the quarterback left. The coach was like, we don't really have a lot of cap money, so we can't do much. We're pretty much in transition this year. So we're not expected to do much. All the pundits are saying Patriots out of the way. And what are they now? They're in contention. As you laugh at that phrase, they're one of the playoff hunt teams. They're on the outside looking in, but still have a chance to be in there. So now you want to now look at Cam Newton. The same person that brought life to the situation is now the same person you're going to condemn. What would they be, I ask you, Acho, without Cam Newton?
At least 5-6.
Oh, my God. With who? With Carson Wentz?
At least 5-6.
With who?
Marcellus,
stop
you said this.
Running the football is what they've been doing.
This, sir.
They're fifth in the league.
You said
what
judge.
What are you talking about?
He said, nah, judge, let me get my one shot. This man said, judge a man by the distance traveled. Cam Newton started the season 15 for 19 against the Miami Dolphins in a win. Mm-hmm. Last week, Cam Newton was 9 for 18, 84 passing yards, no touchdowns and 2 interceptions. What distance did Cam travel?
He didn't travel anywhere.
Yes, he did. Marcellus.
One win. Did he go win week one? Did he go win last week? Yes, he did. And when they needed a play, do you remember the Buffalo game? Last drive, they need a play. Cam Newton out there running around. Fumble.
So.
What happened on this drive when they needed Cam Newton to make a play?
Interception.
Get some. What game are you talking about?
I'm talking about
in this game, last drive, what did he do? Get him in field goal range. What happened? They kick a field goal. They win that game. That is called overcoming your own issues, bro.
No. Colin said this. I know you hate when I steal from Colin, but what I do.
Because you do it all the time.
No, because I borrow from intelligent people. You're a wise man. I've borrowed from you before. Mm. You've just been very ignorant lately, but typically you're wise. Colin said this.
What did he say?
My child runs across the street blindly in the middle of traffic and doesn't get hit by a car, I'm not going to applaud him for not getting hit. It was still an idiotic decision. Mm. I am going to assess the entirety of the picture.
Okay.
Second to last drive, game on the line, Patriots driving to win, 4 minutes left, Cam Newton throws an interception. Cardinals now go down the field to what would have been end the game, because the Patriots had not scored points outside of special teams and big plays. Cardinals go down the field, kick a 45-yard field goal, which should be a gimme in the NFL, and the Cardinals miss. Because the Cardinals miss, Cam gets short field.
Yeah.
Cam gets hit late, puts them in field goal range. Yeah. Their kicker, I believe, makes a 50.
Yeah.
I'm not going to applaud Cam Newton for not getting punished for his mistakes. Cardinals let him off the hook. Mm. But I'm not going to applaud a kid for crossing the street if he don't get hit. I'm not going to applaud Cam Newton.
So why are you coming here in a loss and applaud Cam Newton for putting up stats that in totality become empty because you didn't even get the achievement of the goal, which is to win a game? Seattle game, you come in here, yo, Patriots, yo, Cam Newton, oh my God. And I'm like, dog, calm down. They 1-1 right now. And they almost won a game, but what does that matter? Unless we're playing horseshoes. No, you want to go on the deep end on that level. But now the guy actually wins the game, puts his team in playoff contention. You have nothing to give
him.
No, here's how I'm going to end this. You won't even answer my question.
Here's how I'm going to end this.
What would they be without Cam Newton?
I already told you, at least 5-6. Here's how I'm going to end this whole argument. Two quarterbacks threw less passes than Cam Newton last week. You want to guess which two? You know that dude
in Denver.
Yep, that dude hitting in Denver who, I don't know, never played quarterback before in the NFL, and Taysom Hill. Two quarterbacks threw less passes than Cam Newton. We can sit here and argue about this till we're blue in the face, but Bill Belichick already told us if he's satisfied with Cam Newton because he don't trust Cam Newton to do the job that Cam Newton's been hired to do. Marcellus.
Kendall Hinton.
If you told your shooting guard, hey, you're not allowed to take no shots this game, that kind of tells the whole world you don't trust your shooting guard. If you tell your quarterback, hey, you're only allowed to throw 18 passes this game.
I can't believe you're doing this.
The world, hey, you're not allowed.
No, that's not how it is. That's not how it is.
Coming
up, let that fly.
Tom Brady hasn't looked like the GOAT in the Bucs offense. I'm going to tell you why he should be frustrated with his head coach, Bruce Arians.
Oh, you just like beef. You just like it.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Bucs are 7-5 after Sunday's loss to the Chiefs. Tom Brady threw 2 interceptions in the game, and his play has led to talk that he isn't having as much success in Bruce Arians' offense, and he needs a new head coach. Fire. Brady called the chatter, quote, external noise, then ended his brief press conference. So, Acho, should Tom Brady be frustrated with Bruce Arians? And you don't have to be brief. Let's talk through this.
Man, Tom Brady should absolutely be frustrated with Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians has completely mishandled Tom Brady, mishandled this situation. Let's start with week one. Week one, the Buccaneers, they had high hopes. And they go out, Tom Brady doesn't play a great game, throws a couple interceptions. What Bruce Arians do? Mm. Bruce Arians runs straight to the podium and says, Tom Brady, it was his fault on those interceptions. So now we're all like, man, Tom Brady out here tripping. Man, it's crazy. Next thing you know, Bruce Arians, he says, oh, my mistake. It's actually Mike Evans' fault. So Bruce Arians, from day one, has been running his mouth about Tom Brady. And again, I've said this to y'all before. For those that don't know, during practice, the only players that wear an additional jersey on top of the jersey they're wearing is a quarterback.
Yep.
Those are the only players. And even in high school, so y'all that played high school ball, college ball, it's been the same thing. Quarterback's protected. Why? Because coaches understand quarterback's the most valuable player on the team. Mm-hmm. Coaches also understand I have to protect my quarterback's physical ability. Mm-hmm. If we understand we have to protect quarterback's physical ability, why would you not understand you also have to uniquely protect a quarterback's mental ability? So Bruce Arians, you know you have to more so coddle a quarterback physically. We know that. So if you know that, and I'm not saying I agree with it, it's just the nature of the game, then why would you not understand you also have to protect a quarterback mentally? So Bruce Arians has been taking shot after shot after shot at Tom Brady. I can get into all the nuts and the bolts and the stats. So I'm going to do that on my second lap.
Sure you will.
But on my first lap, it's very simple. Bruce Arians, you knew what you had with Tom Brady. Mm. Why aren't you acting like you knew what you had with Tom Brady?
Unreal that your take was based off of, oh, he's protected physically. And then we need to protect him mentally.
Actually, you went to the word coddle. In the NFL, football player, you got to coddle him.
Never seen that in my experience in NFL, but this is a new take from you. So, okay, new evidence. I shall retort. He is frustrated with Bruce Arians, but he shouldn't be frustrated with Bruce Arians. What's happening here is the conflict between buy-in and the conflict of a lack of trust. Look, he's almost PTSD from his Bill Belichick experience because it was an amazing experience in terms of wins and losses, but also it had an effect on him in terms of trust because you buy into Bill Belichick, you become the GOAT, and then you try to say, well, buy into me a little more. Buy into my situation, my circumstances. Give me the resources, the weapons, the receivers, et cetera. Build an offense around me. Let me call the plays, whatever it may be. And there wasn't the buy-in back into Tom Brady. So now he takes his services to Tampa Bay, and he finds himself with a coach who's like, hey, we're going to risk it to get that biscuit. And Tom Brady's like, that sounds good, except I've had so much success. My muscle memory tells me dink and dunk it works. But I'm going to trust you, Bruce Arians. And the first six games, let's say Tom Brady really went out there and trusted him. Let's talk about the fact that in eight pass plays of 35 yards or more in the first half of the season. But in the last half, only four. What does that mean? Tom Brady came out there trusted, bought into the playbook. He was still learning on the fly and was completing the long ball. What was their record the first half? 4-2. What's their record now? 3-3. And you're like, that's kind of comparable, but it's not because the offense is actually functionally more effective of late. This is the point. Tom Brady's like, I won more early in the season doing it his way. But you know what? It didn't feel as good. So now I'm going to be effective in the way I do it, and we're going to be a better offense, but now we're not winning as much. Tom Brady needs to blame himself for where he is right now. He is having competing thoughts of buying into the system or buying into what has worked for him for so long, which is the Brady way.
So, again, I like talking to you because you're older than me. You're wiser than me at times. You have more life experience.
At times.
Back okay.
Back in.
Let me get to this. Marcellus, I believe that it's the job of the father figure. It's the job of the parent to make sure that the child gets what they need, not necessarily what they want. When I was a kid, I'd be like, Mom, can I get these desserts?
Yeah.
And there came a point where she would let me eat all the candy I wanted. And then I went to the dentist's office. Your boy had a couple cavities, and I had to pay the price. Bruce, Tom Brady, can I get another receiver? Can I get Antonio Brown? Can I get Rob Gronkowski? Bruce Arians gave Tom Brady what he wanted, not what he needed. What's Tom Brady need? A pass-catching running back? Hello? Pass-catching running back help, please. Mm. The problem is B.A. You're the authoritarian. So he gave Tom Brady too much of what Tom Brady wanted, not enough of what Tom Brady
needs. You think Brady knows that as well?
My thing is, who's the buck stop with? It stops with the head coach,
right,
always and forever.
Yeah.
So when you look at this roster and you look at the fact that James White threw 12 games last year, Patriots running back, had 57 receptions. Leonard Fournette, Buccaneers running back, he leads the team of the running backs with receptions, only has 28. Mm-hmm. Whose fault is that? That's not on Tom Brady.
Really?
That's on the head coach.
Wow.
Head coach supposed to structure the roster, is he not?
Yeah, but still, he calls the plays that Tom Brady's already given approval to. He just calls them in the individual circumstances of the game. But the playbook is constructed by Bruce Arians' words, by Tom Brady's approval. Now you're going to blame Bruce Arians for that craziness. All right, we got to bring in somebody who's not as crazy as my dog, Acho, NFL analyst Greg Jennings. So, Greg, should Tom Brady be frustrated, irritated with Bruce Arians?
You got to first look in the mirror. Mm. Simply put, as players, we all have been players in this league. And when you're not getting it done personally, you have to look and be honest with yourself. The film does not lie. And what we've seen with Tom Brady is inconsistent play. He's been good when they're ahead, but when they are behind and when he gets pressure, he has been bad. Acho, you talk about what he needs versus what he wants. When you look at Tom Brady and the dinking and the dunking, you're saying he needs a pass-catching back out of the backfield. Well, in every offense, you have to evolve. You have to adjust. And he knew when he got on this roster what was there, what was not there. He wanted the receivers. He wanted guys that can spread the ball, that can spread defenses out, that can get down the field vertically, that he can get the ball in their hands and they can make plays. That's what they afforded him. Everything that Tom has pretty much asked for, he has gotten. You can't always pass the buck. And when you look at this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, when they are behind, Tom Brady has thrown 10 of his 11 interceptions. Mm. That is all indicative, more so on the quarterback and the player. That's just like pressure, buddy. When you feel that pressure, you change what you've done. And if you haven't been effective without the pressure, when you get the pressure, it's going to be hard to rise to the occasion. And Tom Brady, regardless of his GOAT status, we all know who he is. Yeah. He has just not been what they expected him to be.
But that's because, fellas, and gee, I like that take. I'm not mad at that take. Yeah, there's just a little incomplete. It's accurate, but it's incomplete. He hasn't been who they expected him to be because they're asking him to be more than who he's supposed to be. Let's talk NBA Finals. Not even the Finals. Let's talk Western Conference Finals. LeBron James, you didn't put him on Murray the entirety of the game because you realize, wait a second, Bron is 35. He's up there in years. Physically, he cannot necessarily do what he has been capable of doing in years past. Now, I'm going to put him on Murray at the end of the game, closeout time, crunch time, but I know LeBron's physical limitations. If we know that about another GOAT in another sport due to his increase in age, why are we looking at Tom Brady and expecting him to go out there and duel with 25, 26-year-old quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes? What do I mean? Ronald Jones, he's third in the NFL in yards per attempt. That's the running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's top 10 in total rushing yards. He averages 5.1 yards an attempt, only behind Dalvin Cook when you're talking about rushers who have more than 115 carries. Greg, if that's the case, why Ronald Jones only get him about 9 attempts last game? Why Ronald Jones only get him about 3 attempts versus the Saints? Why Ronald Jones only get him about 22 attempts total in the last 3 Bucs losses? Bucs are 3-0 when Ronald Jones gets 20-plus attempts. Bucs, last 3 losses, he has 22 attempts in totality. I understand that you were right. Tom Brady has not been who they expected him to be, but that's because they're asking Tom Brady to be something he can no longer be. And to me, that's on the head coach, B.A.
I 100% agree with you. They are asking him to be more than what he has been in his final years of playing ball. However, when you are asked to do a thing, you have the opportunity to say, well, coach, that's not what I'm comfortable doing anymore. But pride, ego, what you have done in the past prohibits you from uttering those words. And so we all, I don't care who you are, Marcellus, you've done it. We know when we're past that mark. We know when we can't really provide what we used to, but nobody really wants to admit it. Nobody really wants to own up to it. They all want the opportunity to still show, yeah, I still can throw 40-plus times, when they know they can't. Tom Brady is on average, is about to average 630 pass attempts for the year. That would be his second most in his entirety of his career. Like, at age, is he 40-plus? Like, that shouldn't be. I'm not disagreeing with you. They are asking him to do above and beyond. But the expectations of what they want, it's going to rest on Tom Brady's shoulders. Yes, can they run the ball? Of course. This is a passing league. When you get behind, you see that coordinators, they forego the run. They let it go and they start putting it on their quarterback. Tom Brady, we praise him for so much. But this right here, he has to be better, period.
To your point, man, in short story, it's amazing as a player when you know you're free-falling, but you're selling everyone that you're on solid footing. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. When you really know internally, I'm kind of free-falling. I remember my Dallas Cowboy year, and I'm in training camp pass rusher against Flozell Adams, and he is giving me all the business. And Bill Parcells walked up to me. He said, hey, Wiley, is that all you got? And I said, yeah. And he said, That told me everything. That now what I was feeling on the inside, the whole world was seeing. But to a greater point than even that, Tom Brady is really suffering from his muscle memory failing him. And we've all been through this, whether it's in real life or in sports, where what's comfortable for you and what's comfortable to you is not necessarily what's going to get you through the next obstacle and experience. Think about this. Tom Brady's now in Tampa Bay, and he has weapons. And this is what he wanted. This is what he pleaded for in New England. Now he has it. You have to adapt as well, to Greg's point. Tom Brady is just reminding me of so many people I grew up. Even me. When you get to a new situation, you know what? It's okay to evolve. Don't have the guilt that you can't change. Evolve to that circumstance, man. When you go from Sizzlers to Ruth Chris, it's okay. Eat that steak. Don't be like, well done. Y'all got A1? And where to catch up at? Like, grow up a little bit. And Tom Brady, early season, was throwing the long ball. I keep telling you this. First seven games, he had a 104 passer rating on passes 20 yards or longer. Since that point, Tom Brady wanted to be dink and dunk. Antonio Brown's my bestie. All of that. What's happened now to his passer rating on deep balls? 26. Buy back in to what you bought into in the first half of the season, and everything will be fixed. Coming up, Russell Wilson cooked enough to get Seattle their second straight win last night. We'll break down what it means for the Seahawks next. Hope the steak wasn't well done. Speak for yourself.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Seahawks took care of business last night against my Philadelphia Eagles and have now won two straight games. Russell Wilson didn't cook a big meal, but he didn't throw an interception for the second straight game, finishing with a touchdown pass and over 200 passing yards. Obviously, most of that going to that man with the purple hair, DK Metcalf. Greg Jennings is back with us, but Marcellus, let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
Did you learn anything from the Seahawks and their win against the Eagles?
I learned a lot about the Seahawks. Obviously, we know that Russell Wilson can go out there and lead this team to victory, albeit sometimes close victory, albeit of late it was a lot of turnovers making those close victories or even losses. But what I learned now is that they have a balanced approach, balanced attack. You can see that the running game, not by the yardage, is most impressive of the last few weeks, but because of Chris Carson coming back from his injury, his foot injury since week 7. Oh, Chris Carson is somebody that you can now balance this attack with and know that you have a premier running back when healthy in terms of his production. What I also learned is this defense, maybe it's here to stay. Maybe this defense can now return some of the roar that has led this franchise for so many years. And all they need is a little bit. They don't need it all because Russ can't cook. But in situations where you found them last night, when they had 5 straight scoring drives, you saw a defense go out there and say, you know what? We're going to play up to our billing just as well. Since the Buffalo Bills game, this is a defense that has not given up more than 23 points. I remind everyone, all you listeners and viewers who watch this show every single day, let's go back 6, 8, 10 weeks ago when this defense was right there with the Dallas defense as the worst defense on pace in NFL history. They fixed those woes. So with a balanced attack, Russell Wilson still having that ability to go out there and strike at any time, and the defense being there, oh, I learned something, that this is a real team come playoff time.
Big dog, I didn't learn much, and you know me, I like to learn, so I was looking for any note, any nugget. What can I learn, decipher from this guy? I didn't find much, and I didn't find much because you talk about the Seahawks defense, and the Seahawks defense, they played well yesterday, held the Eagles to 17 points. The Browns held the Eagles to 17 points. The Giants held the Eagles to 17 points. So when you talk about the Seahawks holding the Eagles to 17 points, that doesn't jump off the screen to me and say, great job, Eagles. You know, Carson Wentz is having a historically bad year, so you can't both say Carson Wentz is historically bad and then give the Seahawks praise for holding somebody historically bad to being bad. So I give them no credit for that. What I do know is Russell Wilson, good to see him not turn the ball over, but Russell Wilson is most likely a future Hall of Famer, so I'm not surprised when he does that. DK Metcalf, he's been balling, but are you surprised that he did that? Leads the NFL right now in receiving yards. Here is my issue with what I wanted to learn. Now it's DK. Now it's DK after that game. Here's what I wanted to learn, and here's what I didn't. The Seahawks have still yet to dominate an opponent, even a sorry opponent like the Eagles. No matter how much I love the Eagles, they sorry. And the Seahawks yet to dominate them. Greg Sell, let me talk to y'all boys real quick. 9 of the 14 playoff teams have beat opponents by at least 14 points this season. 9 of the 14 playoff teams. The Bucks, they beat Bucks, Packers, Ravens, and Chiefs. They've beat opponents by 14 or more 5 times. Saints, Colts, and Dolphins, they've won by 14 or more 4 times. Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, Steelers. Just go Rams, Cardinals, Steelers. They beat opponents by 14 or more 3 times. But when you talk about the Seahawks, they haven't whooped anybody all season. They beat the Falcons week 1. I'm sorry, Falcons, by about 13. But they ain't whooped nobody. So I'm waiting for the Seahawks to dominate an opponent. Mm. Winning close games is cool. Russell Wilson's done that the last 2 years. That's great. But we know this. When you get to the playoffs, you have to make sure that you can handle some teams. And the Seahawks beating the Eagles by 6, that just didn't teach me a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm with you, Acho. When you look at the opponents that they even have coming up, you expect them to win these games. I mean, they have what, the Giants, the Jets. They just played the Eagles. I mean, the NFC East, all you have to do is control the time of possession, don't turn the ball over, and score enough points to win. And you're pretty much going to walk away with the win. And that's what they did last night. And so, yes, can Russell Wilson still cook? Of course, but right now, we don't need you to be what we were trying to have you be early in the season, at the beginning of the season, because our defense is playing well. And Marcellus, to your point, I think you hit it right on the head. Their ability to not just bash you in the running game, but be able to stay consistent to the running game, 30 attempts rushing, it wears on an opponent. Mm-hmm. It allows you to keep them on their toes defensively. And in this game that we're playing, and you're trying to be a playoff team, you better show your opponents that you can offer something in the running game as well as the passing game. We know who Russell Wilson is, but against these few opponents that they're about to have upcoming, all they need to do is just enough. They don't need to be spectacular. I'm not even impressed. I don't even need you to dominate an opponent. Just make sure you win these games.
Yeah, it's interesting that Russell Wilson and his cooking. Everyone saw the passing yardage in the MVP campaign, but he had 3 giveaways in all the wins and 10 in the losses. So the formula, whatever degree he had it in terms of the setting for the cooking, maybe a little too hot for Russell Wilson's doing, because it started to create the turnovers that led to those close wins or even the defeats. But I don't like what Acho said about 9 of 14 teams have beat up people. That means there's 5 teams that haven't beat up people, and that could be Russell Wilson and the Seahawks if one of those 5. That's not really a damning stat right there. What's funny is you walked into this game, it sounded like, thinking that the defense was already solved. Like the defense was ready made. Like this defense been here all year, when we know that they were giving up an average of 30 plus points in the first 9 weeks, and then since then, 20. 10 points? And you're not impressed? You didn't learn something new since week 10? This is a defense that has now fixed itself, but now you're sitting there saying, already saw that. And in a game where there was a fluke Hail Mary, and there was another touchdown drive kept alive because of what? An intentional grounding that the whole entire world saw and reacted to, but those referees and officials on the field just let the drive continue. So this was a stellar game from a defense that doesn't have many outings where they could say that they've had great play. So Acho, I don't understand where you're coming from, unless you already thought this team was as good as I now think that you weren't impressed from what you saw.
I did. That's the problem. My bar for the Seahawks was high.
Was higher.
Coming into the season, my bar for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, he was talking about MVPs. Russell Wilson ain't been to the Super Bowl since 2013. As good as he is, as good as Seahawks fans have let me and you know he is on Twitter, because I check both our timelines, Seahawks fans being the mention.
That's real.
My bar was for the Seahawks to dominate. I ain't seen that. The 1 seed in the NFC, 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed, they have all dominated at least 3 times all season long. But the Seahawks, they won. They ain't dominated. If you want to win that Super Bowl, which I think they're capable of doing, I just want to see them dominate. Mm-hmm. Coming up in our big story, the Eagles, they took another L last night. It was a lowercase L, though. But I'll tell you why. It's not time for Philly to bench Carson Wentz. Y'all calm down with all that. Mm. That's next. Speak for yourself. Mm.
Self, Marcel Swally, Emmanuel Acho over there itching. Go ahead.
I had an itch on the shoulder blade. I'm trying to scratch the joint. You know what I'm saying? I ain't get it, though.
Yeah. Right. You can't go out right now in the pandemic. You can't take a bath, though. Come on, man. Get your family. Let's go back to the Eagles for our big story. I'm so wrong. Carson Wentz, who kept struggling in last night's loss against the Seahawks. Wentz was sacked 6 times, had a big interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter. Easy interception. There was talk Jalen Hurts would have an expanded role, but He was only in on two official snaps and had one complete pass. Doug Peterson said the quarterback decision is his if they make a change. But right now, it's not happening. Greg is back, but Acho, is it time for your Eagles to bench your guy, Carson Wentz?
No, and I've never actually believed the words that are coming out of my mouth more than I do this right here. I don't know how you could watch the game yesterday and now think that it's time to bench Carson Wentz. I understand maybe 5-6 weeks ago after the Bengals game, not very good. Steelers game, I don't know. But after last night's game, I don't know how you could watch that and say, oh, with all this, all the plethora of receiving talent they have, with how stout that offensive line is, now is the time to bench Carson Wentz. Fellas, we have to remember, Carson Wentz does miss some good plays. But Carson Wentz also turns atrocious plays into just bad plays. What do I mean? Y'all remember that fumble where the refs missed the intentional grounding? Yeah. We can take a look at it in case y'all stopped watching the game at that point. But I didn't, because I'm dedicated to them boys. Y'all remember this? Fumble, bad snap over Carson Wentz's head. He grabs it somehow in the midst of chaos, still throws it out of bounds. Yes, the refs missed an intentional grounding call. But Carson Wentz allowed the refs to miss that intentional grounding call. Because you want to know what refs don't miss? A sack. That's an atrocious play. That if you have Jalen Hurts, the rookie in there, no fault of his own, if that happens, he might not even recover it. Seahawks going the other way. He might just play it safe and fall on it. That happens over the course of the game so many times that, yes, Carson Wentz does miss some plays. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he also keeps atrocious plays, and he just makes those bad or manageable plays. So after watching the game yesterday, I have no idea how you could actually believe now was the time to turn to Jalen Hurts.
Wow. That is a low-ass bar when you got to show a play like that.
That is.
A $39 million player goes out there and almost throws the ball back to the line of scrimmage. And Otto's like, that a boy. You're on your way.
Wow.
I'm going to leave that whole take where it belongs, in the trash. And I'm going to talk about the fact that I told you a long time ago to bench Carson Wentz. They didn't listen to me. Then I had to almost get off that take because I was like, it's getting a little too late. But who knew that the NFC East will still leave the door open for the Philadelphia Eagles to go out there, even though these next two games are going to be hell to pay. Got to play, the Packers and the Saints. That's not going to be pretty. But point being, this is still a time where you can bench Carson Wentz and get some juice into your offense, into the psyche of this team. Why? Because you can't get any worse than Carson Wentz is playing right now. 30th in passer rating, pretty much can't get worse. 31st in completion percentage, had his second worst completion percentage game last night of the season. Second worst. That means he's not getting much better as well. But when I look at Jalen Hurts, averaging 11 yards a play in his 33 snaps, two touchdown drives for Philadelphia, there's something about him in this limited opportunity he had so far and he's had that's actually lived up to some juice, some electricity for this offense. But Acho reminds me of someone who looks at relationships. See, Acho is single, and he doesn't like relationships because I think he only focuses on the bad part of the relationship, the arguments, the issues, the lack of freedom. Oh, I can't be Acho. You know, he got his name on his license plate, y'all, so you know Acho come. Acho like Acho. That's all this is about. So Acho is not used to really giving for others, to look outside of himself, like the Philadelphia Eagles need to look outside of Carson Wentz and look at Jalen Hurts and look at the other 51 guys on this roster and give them an opportunity to shine, because right now Carson Wentz undoubtedly is holding this team back.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Marcellus. You have to give this team some type of boost, some type of energy burst, some type of bolt, jolt, anything offensively specifically. And when you throw the stats out there, he can't do any worse. I don't have to repeat what you just said. You heard the stats. Like, put Jalen Hurts in there and you are going to protect him. You're going to play to his strengths. You're going to eliminate turnovers because that's not his strength. And then when you do throw the ball, you will be more efficient. You will be more mindful. You'll be more protective of him. Mm. You pulled up a play. I am going to touch the play that you pulled up.
Let's touch it.
This is how you know that you don't really believe what you said. You pull out of all the plays that Carson Wentz have made, have overcome. That's the play you pulled out? A play where he lets the ball goes over his head.
Yeah.
and he just happens to scoop it and throw it away? You're telling me any quarterback in the National Football League would have done that very thing?
False.
Anyone. No, I don't care who you pick.
That's a lie.
And when you look at this Philadelphia Eagles team and you think about the talent that they have with Jalen Hurts, it doesn't hurt to give it a try as a runner in track. You know, the worst, the most important person in a relay is the leadoff runner. Everybody thinks it's the anchor, but it's the leadoff runner. Mm. If you are starting out the gate with the guy that is pressing, that is a little nervous, that is feeling like the weight of the world is on his shoulders, give him a break. Take that pressure off of him. Load manage him, if you will. Start Jalen Hurts, and there's no rules to say you can't go back to Carson Wentz. So let Jalen Hurts roll. Put booby in. Let him spin.
Bingo.
I can't entertain y'all because, first off, the primary fallacy that you all have is that it could not get any worse. Must I remind y'all, after Andy Dalton replaced Dak Prescott, went in against the Cardinals, only put up 10 points, we was all like, oh, that can't get any worse. What happened? Ben DiNucci came in. It got a whole lot worse. So let's not act as though it can't get any worse because it can. Mm. The reason I showed y'all that play is because the Eagles got points on that play, on that drive, rather. The Eagles ended up with some points after that horrible snap. These are the small things that we don't factor in. Oh, the refs missed the call. Well, how'd the refs miss the call? They missed the call because Carson put them in the position to miss the call. You have a lesser quarterback in there, then there are even bigger issues. Y'all got to understand, the Eagles are bad. Without Carson Wentz, with Jalen Hurts, the Eagles would be worse. No fault of Jalen Hurts. Oh, he's just a rookie.
No, I don't know about that because Carson Wentz has the worst on-target percentage in the NFL. So, if you are the worst, how can you get worse than the worst? You mean the worst?
I can tell you. I can tell you exactly. Carson Wentz, he was losing yards after the snap yesterday for the first couple series. Losing yards after the snap. What happened when Jalen Hurts went in there? He lost yards before the snap, fellas. They had a false start and lost 5 yards before the ball was even hyped. I'm not going to sit here and act like it cannot get worse. Jalen Hurts go in there.
Let me tell you this. You have the same theory. I know why you're single, Acho. I know why you don't have a relationship love like Greg and I, because you don't know how to look at the entire picture and measure it properly. Look, I understand that there's a fear. People who look at us, married men, committed men, what happens if y'all get divorced? She takes half your stuff. He takes half your stuff. Half, half, half. And one time, this married guy told me, he said, look, I'd rather go through a divorce and somebody take half than be married and stuck and committed to somebody who ain't good, and they take it all. And that's what's happening right now. Carson Wentz is taking all this team down with him instead of getting rid of his butt, and maybe you only got to deal with half these issues. Coming up, Bruce Arians says Tom Brady is calling the plays in Tampa. We'll tell you who's more at fault for the Bucs problems next. Speak for yourself.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Buccaneers have lost 3 out of 4, and fingers are starting to be pointed. Tom Brady threw 2 interceptions in the Bucs loss on Sunday, and Tampa's offense looked out of sync. But head coach Bruce Arians talked about Brady after the game, telling NFL Network's Mike Silver, quote, he picks all the plays now. We call what he picks, close quote. So, Marcellus, who is actually at fault for these Buccaneers' struggles? Is it Bruce Arians or Tom Brady?
You for even asking the question and implying
that it's my fault.
Because
everything my fault.
It came out your worst. Struggling. How are they struggling? This team has a bye week. They're in the playoffs and they have an easy schedule going forward.
7-5.
That's called struggling.
That's called struggling.
That's called struggling. Oh, I don't know what your expectations were, but I think they would have signed up to be a playoff team this year, would they not? Because they weren't one last year with Jameis Winston lighting it up. But they got a quarterback now that is taking care of the football, being efficient with the football in comparison to Jameis, and more importantly, winning the ball games that are necessary. You keep wanting to harp on this team struggling. What is a struggle? You lost to the Saints, who have won his division 3 years in a row. Looks like a fourth year. Okay, we give them that. We lost by 1 point to Chicago. We lost by 3 points to the Rams and 3 points to KC. Struggle? And we're in the playoffs with a bye week and this is easy going forward? They're learning on the fly. It's called growing pains. Acho, I don't know if you had a growth spurt or you were just born a man child. Maybe you were, but I wasn't. I remember struggling, growing pains. My knees hurt. I'm getting taller. My knees hurt. I'm getting bigger. My knees hurt. I'm looking good to these girls. Point being, pain comes with gain, but you don't want to respect it when it comes to the situation. Hey, I got fined about junior year in college, real fine. I'll tell you my Venice Beach story later. But the point being, this is a team that is learning itself as it goes and is still in a great position to do everything it wants to achieve.
First off, let's acknowledge struggling. Let's acknowledge expectations. Let's acknowledge reality. Therefore, let's acknowledge disappointment.
Okay.
You know this because you are the biggest fan of the Clippers. The Clippers, it wasn't enough to now, oh, make the playoffs. No, no, no. You got Kawhi. You got PG. You have higher expectations based on players you've acquired. You know this firsthand.
But we were in the playoffs before, at least.
Don't add out that ignorant. You got Tom Brady. You got Rob Gronkowski. You got Antonio Brown. Let's not act as though this Buccaneers team is not struggling based on expectations.
Okay.
But let me get to the point. Let's answer the question.
Let's go.
Who's at fault? It's Bruce Arians. And it's Bruce Arians because when the lights shine brightest, Bruce Arians, he forgets who he is. Like, when they play on these national stages against the Saints, how you only run the ball four times, five times with the kneel down. Mm. When you play on a national stage again this past weekend, how does Ronald Jones only get, I think, 9 total touches? Mm. The dude averages 5-plus yards a carry, second best in the NFL. Bruce Arians changes who he is when the lights shine. It's almost as though, Marcellus, he's having like a subliminal tug of war. He wanted the whole world to know, hey, I understand that Tom Brady's a GOAT, but put some respect on my name, too, okay? Yeah. I'm Bruce Arians, okay? Y'all got to recognize real as well on this side of the end. And the fact of the matter is, Bruce Arians, when the going gets tough, it's not even like he gets going. He just starts changing his ways. So I think it is on Bruce Arians, the head coach, for their struggles.
Interesting that Bruce Arians changed his ways when Tom Brady's had two different seasons. If you want to look at some of the categories, let's focus in on yards per attempt. Bruce Arians' way, which is risk it for the biscuit. Tom Brady had averaged 6 yards or more per attempt in the first 8 games. All of them. Struggled since that point. You see him now against the Saints, 5.5, under. You see him 4.5 when you see him play against on Monday night. Point being, this is a team that's looking at Tom Brady like, dude, you okay? Because you bought in, and now I see, like, you don't want to buy. You want to lease. You want to rent. We need you to purchase. We need you to purchase this playbook, purchase this opportunity, and buy all the way in. Tom Brady has had 2 different seasons, and neither one of them I'm going to give the complexion of a struggle. But if you want to blame somebody, you have to blame Tom Brady. Tom Brady is now trying to recalculate on the fly something that he's learning on the fly. I don't think that's smart football. I think he needs to do better.
Speaking of learning, I'm going to give y'all a water cooler note. I'm going to give you a water cooler note because this is going to make the whole point hit home. In primetime games, the Buccaneers, they only average 17 rushing attempts a game. But in non-primetime games, they average 26 rush attempts a game. 10 more rush attempts a game, basically, 9 of 10 based on the decimal point, and it's not prime time. Because what happens? As soon as these lights come on, Bruce Arians forgets how to put a playbook, forgets how to put the play call, forgets how to put the call sheet together, and all of a sudden, wait, y'all watching? Oh, y'all all gonna see the real Bruce Arians. And because of that,
them games look the same.
They don't look the same.
They look the same to us when
we
play.
Me and you look the same. Coming up, Uncle Jimmy joins us with his own thoughts on Carson Wentz. Uh-oh. This should be fun.
Next.
Speak for yourself.
It look different than the fans. It don't look different. Before we go, we already gone back and forth on Carson Wentz, but now it's Uncle Jimmy's turn. Go ahead, Unc. Get it. Get him.
Yo, Acho.
What's up, Unc?
How many more famous you got left on that Bentley?
Straight cash, homie. Man,
how long would we have to sit up and hear you bear false witness and speak false prophecy and just have to try to just tell bold-faced lies in defense of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'll be trying, though.
Hey, man, you get just like Marcellus Wiley. Hey, man.
What?
The only difference in Wiley is Wiley ain't got no shame because he ain't got no game. He'll tell you straight up, as long as Jerry Jones keep paying for this pool, he gonna keep making it do what it do. Hey, man, Bruce Arians told you best. He said that Carson Wentz playing like Cheech. Now, I know you like to brag about your knowledge of the anatomy, even though it's based off of books. But here's what he's telling you. Carson Wentz is playing like ass. This is the reason that the Eagles stink, okay? He smells like a gluteus maximus, okay? You need to admit the fact. Like what God like is nothing but the truth.
Fox Bet Live is next. Stinks in here.